It's the time of the week again. It's the Football Sat Podcast. I'm your host, as I always am, on all two episodes we've done so far, Jack Quigley. And with me, as always, is Christian Leyland, co-founder of the Football Sack. Welcome back.
And as always, it's great to be here.
It is great to be here. Thanks for tuning in once again. For those of you who have tuned in once again, for those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome to the show.
Great to have you.
It's going to be a bit longer because we have to get through the Socceroos, etc. So it's probably going to be the best part of an hour of ill-informed and just total rubbish.
Total rubbish. It's, you know, I think my favourite rubbish.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah, no, I love it. I go home and listen to it myself.
It's
twice.
True.
Not really.
Not really. No. I thought I was the only one.
You are the only one. I did think about having a listen to it, actually, and sort of thought, nah, it's a little egotistical. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I probably could have passed it off as professionalism and said, hey, I'm just checking my work.
That's it. We need a bit of a self-review.
Yeah. We also need public reviews. So Twitter us.
Twitter?
If you're out there.
iTunes? We have an iTunes
review? We have. Since last week, we have launched. We're on iTunes as well. It gets bigger and bigger. Get on board now. Make sure you email us now and make yourself known so that when we're famous, we remember who you are.
That's it. Get on board.
Yeah. Okay. When I finally stop fiddling with my mic and actually start talking, I'll keep it a volume that is the same throughout. We're going to today's show. We'll talk about a few things. The Socceroos, obviously. We'll go a bit on everything that involves Pim's tactics, red cards, form, the future, etc. We'll talk about... let's talk just a little bit about England. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And, we've got some stuff from Betfair. We'll talk about odds for this evening's games. We'll talk A-League. We've got some interaction with some of our listeners, which is great, and some of our readers. It's going to be a huge show. Don't go anywhere. They could go somewhere because it's on an iPod.
That's it. Yeah. Pause. Stop.
Yep.
Drink. Come back again.
Well, you don't even have to do that. You've got your headphones in. You can get up and just keep doing it.
Oh, that's the best part of our show. We're everywhere.
That's right. We are. Ew. If you wanted to go and paint your back room, you could do that. That's a special shout out to Carly Fly, who twitters us quite regularly. She's a good listener. And Carly, I hope that you're enjoying this fresh podcast. We're sorry that you tried to listen to the old one twice. I actually twittered back and said that our podcast was like an old Simpsons episode, and each time you watch it, you see more jokes that you missed the first time.
I think that's a fair call.
It's not true at all, is it? You wouldn't want to hear any of my jokes twice. Let's get stuck in. Socceroos. Jesus.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Yeah. Selection, tactics, formation, and it was all a bit wrong, wasn't
wrong.
It?
Wrong! It was all wrong. Everything you just said was wrong. It was just the Australian mentality was I was on the radio again this morning, actually. I got the phone call just as I was going to bed. And they sort of said, can you give us 5 minutes for the news? And I said, yeah. And they asked me about the game. And I just said the Australian mentality in sport is to not really acknowledge reputation. Just go out and try and beat whoever we're playing. It doesn't matter. Last World Cup under hitting, we gave Brazil a real run for their money.
We were unlucky.
We deserved a draw in that game because we threw the kitchen sink at them. We didn't say, oh, they're Brazil, let's lay down. And it really worried me in the build-up to this Germany game how Lucas Neal's going, they're a much more superior team. They're playing better leagues. You know, we shouldn't expect anything from this game. Yeah, I realised what he was trying to do is put the pressure on Germany, but I think it seeped into their mindset and they were just awful.
They were. I think the worst bit was our defensive line. It was so slow.
Oh, and so high. If you have a high-ass slow back line, don't stand on the halfway line. That is just ridiculous. And that was, we got an email from someone or a Twitter from somebody asking about that. I'm sorry, whoever that was, I'm sorry that I haven't got your name handy. Here it is. Matt Collard from Sydney tweeted us and said, is Moore a liability in our defence? I think he is. Mm-hmm. Why does Pim want us to play a high defensive line, which Moore fails with? I don't know why you're asking me, Matt, because I couldn't tell you.
No. I think one of the reasons is we don't really have anyone to replace him.
Well, you know, Beecham.
Yeah, true, actually. He played well.
He's not a great player, but pace is so crucial at world-class level. You know, Craig Moore, he can play in the A-League until he's 45. He's like Kevin Muscat. His reading of the game is that good. But he just gets so exposed at that level. You know, Podolski and co, what was it, Otsula, what was that bloke's name?
Oz something.
Yeah, it was something. Everyone who's listening will know, because he tore us to shreds. He, it's Mesut Ozil or something like that.
Ozil, I think.
Yeah, he was just lethal, and he just made us look like chumps.
One of my biggest culprits of the match was actually Lucas Neal himself.
Lucas with his, how the, can you give that onside when you're the bloke playing him onside?
For a while there, I didn't think he actually understood the offside rule.
I don't think he does. No. Have you noticed with Lucas, and this was something I picked up at the last World Cup, he has, and ever since that, when he signed for West Ham as well, and watching him week in, week out, his reaction when a goal is scored against his team is a real one of, I can't believe I even have to play with you losers. Like, he shrugs the shoulders, he throws the arms up in the air, he spins away. And every time, even if he's absolutely at fault, he does the whole, like, you idiots kind of reaction.
I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you let me play.
Yeah, exactly. He's gesturing to the bench. He's making the wanker sign to Pimba Bank. You idiot.
Not even I would have picked me.
Lucas. I mean, the simple answer is, okay, we're dead slow. Let's sit deep if we are going to sit deep. What we effectively did by naming six midfielders, no strikers, and a high back line was we just had like six blokes and four blokes standing either side of the halfway line. Just like in perfect formation. They were like the army.
It was like the best drilled under eight side I've ever seen.
it was because they were like an under eight team that just as a group follows the ball all around the pitch. Mm-hmm. There was no width. There was no movement off the ball.
The funny thing is the pressuring that the Australians managed to do with 10 men is what the Germans can do with three.
Yeah, exactly. We said in last week's show that Garcia in the two friendlies hadn't had a touch as a joke. He did have a couple of touches. One, he missed the goal. He inside the 6-yard box couldn't put the ball away, and the other one he had a shot that on first camera angle looked like it fizzed over the bar, on second camera angle nearly took out some old lady, you know, way up in the stand.
Well, I was surprised he didn't get booked for time wasting with that.
Do you know that Jeff Hurst in the 66 World Cup final, the third goal he scored, the fourth for England, he tried to belt the ball into the stand to waste time, shanked it, and went in the goal. That's a true story. He's admitted that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's obviously what Garcia was doing. Because, well, we're probably 1-0 down, 2-0 down at that stage. He's probably thinking, this isn't bad for the goal difference.
let's finish this off.
Yeah, that's right. Let's just run it to the corner. Look, it was quite embarrassing. It was just the manner of just, you know, it's better that... Andy Harper said this morning on Fox Sports News, the Midnight Oil song quote, where it's better to die on your feet than live on your knees. And it is. If we'd gone out and thrown the kitchen sink at him, been hit four times on the break and lost 4-0, I'd say, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it happens.
But we just feel cheated by this result.
Well, okay, even if we had have said, okay, we'll do an Italian, which the Italians didn't actually do last night, sit back and
that
go...
That was a better game than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I really loved it. We'll get back to that soon.
Sorry. we're terrible with tangents.
Yeah. Anyway, if we had have done a proper Italian, say, okay, we'll sit back, defence, and go on the counter-attack properly, I wouldn't have minded, but we seemed to do something in between, which meant we just got overran in every aspect of the game.
It was just... If you sort of went through, if it was a marking sort of criteria sheet, you would just go fail, 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 fail for everything that Pim did. It was just ludicrous.
It was ludicrous. Like he doesn't have the best players to choose from, but even then, he could have done something better than he did.
But we had three holding midfielders, and their central midfielder didn't have a man on him all game.
Yeah, true.
Which is bizarre.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely bizarre. Anyway, that's the bitch about Australia. Let's bitch about the red card.
Oh, that was atrocious. First of all, the penalty for handball, which wasn't given.
Yeah,
that... And then followed up by the Tim Cahill getting setting off for trying to pull out of a tackle.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
He threw, Wilshere went in with a dodgy tackle, caught him, and then Cahill threw himself in and thought, this is stupid, I better pull out. Pulled out, and the referee just totally overreacted. Schweinsteiger picked up Tim Cahill and said it wasn't a red card.
Yeah, he even came up to him after the game and stuff. It was, yeah.
We just hope that he's only out for one game. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom because of the fact that Ghana beat Serbia and Serbia now play Germany. Mm-hmm. So there's a good chance they'll be out of it by the third game that we play.
Yes.
So if we beat Ghana, it's really, we could be playing against a team with nothing to play for, and a win will get us through because Ghana, you assume, will not beat Germany. So it all comes down to the Ghana game now. I thought it would come down to the Serbia game, but it's all on this Ghana game. So let's play a striker.
Yeah, well, that's it. It is all very doom and gloom, but we still actually have a highly, highly realistic chance of getting through. Like, it won't be easy. It'll be tough, but it can still happen.
Yeah, yeah. I've got our odds with Betfair. I went on this morning to check it out. For Australia to qualify, we're paying
$9.20.
And to finish rock bottom of the group, we're $1.46.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
oh, wow.
Betfair don't fancy us. That's going to be worth a couple of bucks. Yeah, $9.20. That's a sneaky five if I've ever seen one.
That's it. That's a sneaky five.
It is. I mean, that's begging out to be $45. Certainly make the goals feel a lot sweeter when they go in.
That's
so,
right. Because they're not sweet enough.
And it's probably worth a good 100 on that rock bottom just to...
just to shore up any loose ends.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of Betfair, our supporters here, go to the site. Click on the Betfair link, open up account, which I did. Was it yesterday? I did that, open up a $30 account because they support us. So let's support them, and get on the betting markets for the World Cup for tonight's games. We've got my accumulator crash and burn last night.
Disappointing. Oh, but I mean, with gambling, you can't lose.
You can't because I'll win back tonight, whatever I lost last night. That's how it works.
Of course.
Last night, what did I go? I went, I got the Netherlands.
Yes.
But I picked Cameroon.
Pick Cameroon and you picked Italy.
So I got one from three, which was quite poor. Tonight, I've gone for the Brazil-Portugal combo to try and recoup those losses. But if $2.56 or whatever that's paying me is not enough value for you, then you can go the trio on the accumulator, Brazil, Ivory Coast, and Slovakia. Pretty good. $5.90.
$5.90.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Brazil beat North Korea. Slovakia, you think, will beat the All Whites.
You would think so.
Ivory Coast, Portugal is the 50-50 game.
That's it.
Drogba is apparently going to play.
So I heard.
With a cast.
Oh.
Yeah. They're all going to stand behind him and sing. No, it's not that kind of cast. Oh. Brazil, Portugal, Slovakia is paying $3.80. So Betfair think Portugal might win that game, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Players to score in the Brazil game, Luis Fabiano, $1.84 to score against North Korea. I think that's very good value.
I think so, because he pretty much scores every time he takes the field for Brazil.
I think so, and he's playing North Korea.
Yes.
So there's a double whammy. Kaká is $2.30. Here's a sneaky bet I think I might go and put $10 on. Someone to be sent off during the Brazil game. $4.40 for a player to get sent off. Because I just think the North Koreans are that kind of team that will just 3-0 down, you know, with half an hour to go when the Brazilians are just playing keep ball. I can just see one of those kamikaze two-legged tackles coming in with someone who's just lost it and getting sent off. I think it's worth a punt.
We're very culturally sensitive at the football sack.
It's the
Korean kamikazes this time.
Touche. Well, good point, yes. Well, kamikaze in the sense that Japan kind of coined it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to admit something. Yep. I'm actually really interested to see how North Korea are going to go because they're a bit of an unknown quantity. South Korea played really well.
North Korea drew with Greece in a friendly 2-2 just before the tournament, and I was quite impressed. I mean, you don't qualify for the World Cup unless you're if you're a bad team, unless you're Australia.
or go through Oceania.
Yeah, well, we couldn't do it most of the time.
So. New Zealand are obviously better than us.
Yeah, that's right. We never did it, did we?
We did it once, 2006.
Oh, 2006, of course, yeah.
Oh, and the first time we did it.
Was that Oceania? I thought that that was through Asia again. Didn't we go...
Oh, it was through Asia, yeah. That's right, because we had to go...
wasn't like the final Vietnam game was in the jungles and stuff. Like that. Yeah. And my other sneaky fiver tonight will go on Shane Smilts to score at some point in this Slovakia game. $5.90. Which I think is quite good.
$5.90, yeah, why not?
Well, he's class. He scored against some of the biggest teams going. Yeah, so.
He scored against Italy, one of the best defensive international sides going around.
The thing with Shane Smeltz is he's just a goal poacher. Yeah. He knows where it is. If the ball drops to him, 9 times out of 10, he sticks it away. So, that's great. The big story. West Ham United goalkeeper, Robert Green.
Oh. I'm not going to lie, I jumped out of my seat and cheered like a little baby. Little girl, I should say.
A little baby. Well, yeah, the baby works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does.
Did you say you cried?
No, I cheered.
Did you say cried or cheered?
I'm not sure. I guess I'll have to go back and have a little listen.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners out there, if I said cried or cheered...
Well, even if you cheered, why would you be doing it like a baby?
Yeah, no, that's why I said the baby didn't make sense at all.
Cheered like a baby who just got his milk. I don't know. Babies don't cheer.
No.
Look, poor old Greeno. I want to stand up for him, but it was such a... bad error.
It really was. The Algeria keeper did his best to make him look better, though.
I'll tell you what, the Algerians have won my heart with some of those haircuts, all right? They are just... Did you see the keeper's haircut?
I did see the keeper's
haircut. It was like vanilla ice times 100.
It was amazing.
It was brilliant.
I didn't even care about the goal in. I was just mesmerised by
it. Because the Portsmouth had the worst haircuts in the Premier League, and they had two Algerians in their team. Uh-huh. Like that Yebda... And who was the other one? It starts with a B. It sounds like Benjani, Bayrami, Belaj.
Cool.
That's the other one. They both had shocking haircuts as well, but the keeper's was like, it was like shaved all around the sides and bleached on top, but bleached into and gelled into little streaks.
Yeah, it
kind of
had
hair,
ripples. It was
and
a bit
was flattened down. It was quite incredible.
For any of our listeners who didn't see it, it's well worth a Google image check.
Yeah, Slovenia goalkeeper.
Algerian.
Yeah, and check him out too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, afterwards. You're just going to be looking at the Slovenian keeper going, hey, looks like a goalkeeper. He's wearing gloves. Slovenian team uniform.
We had a listener comment on Slovenia's uniform saying it could fit well for the Fury.
Oh, we did too. Who said that? We got that one written down. Is it on that sheet?
It is. It's on our other one.
It's on this one just here. Someone said here it is. James Parkinson from Melbourne tweeted us and said North Queensland. His was the one with 2 points. He said, one, North Queensland Fury should take some inspiration from the Slovenia kit. I think dark green as the main colour is the only way to go, or the way to go, he says. If you have to use lime green, then it's best used as trim. It's fair enough.
Fair enough.
Celtic's away kit. Point two, USA are way ahead of us. And I think he's pretty bang on the mark with that one.
Okay, we'll give him that one.
Written underneath that one is that Carly from Perth. She's doing the World Cup challenge with me. You're pretty much doing it as well. You didn't officially do it. But you've watched every game. So Carly, best of luck with that. It's how hard is it? Bloody hell. I'm hating myself come in the mornings. I hate going to bed in the morning. It just doesn't feel right.
Well, by the time we go to bed, it's almost sunrise.
Yeah, well, it's light. I sort of stand up after watching the game. I feed the dogs, mm-hmm. take them outside, and then go back inside and go to sleep. So,
of course, we're gonna claim the major title here, cause seeing as we our last game starts at 4:30. Well, at Perth, it's only 1:30.
Is it 3 or 2 hours? I think.
I have no idea.
I think
to be honest,
two
and a half or something like that.
Is it? think it's only two, but yeah, because we were just discussing that before, Carly, and just saying, I think we're doing it slightly tougher, but you still get points. You still get points. Clyde Jones tweeted back and said that USA shocked him. They might do pretty well. Hey, they might. You know, if they top that group and you know play, who are they going to play? Ghana.
Ghana probably. Yeah.
So you know they could beat Ghana. Mm-hmm. They could be quarterfinalists.
Well, I've said from the start they're going to be semifinalists. I think personally.
You did, yeah. Them and the Slovaks.
Them and the Slovaks. Okay, I'm thinking Slovaks more quarterfinals to do well. You, the states are really
to do well.
The team
to do well is get out of that group for the Slovaks, surely.
Well, yeah, they have to, because they have to come on top of either Paraguay, who surprised me defensively. I thought they were quite good. Yeah. And Italy.
Let's talk about Paraguay briefly. Well, about last night's goal scorers. Mm-hmm. When Japan scored Honda, I straight away thought, right, you know, that's great for all the lazy journalists out there who are going to make the puns. Our newest writer at the Football Sack, Neil, tweeted pretty much straight away saying, I'm revved up for all the Honda puns, which was good. then I was watching the Paraguay game, and Alcaraz scores.
Yes, yes.
And I thought, no, surely that's not going to get touched. Fox Sports News this morning says, you know, there was a near miss or something like that. Italy scored, or failed to score, fired over the bar, and then they show a highlight of down the other end of the goal for Paraguay, and they say... Yeah, and after that great escape, Alcaraz scored. I went, no, yeah, that island is Alcatraz. It's not the same word.
Now, Jack, we're journalists. We don't care about facts.
That is a very good point. That's a very good point, especially lazy journalists, which I know I'm going to be. Another thing we said on last week's show, we on one of our many tangents, which was about 30 minutes of the 34-minute show, we started talking about match-fixing allegations levelled against Kamran Akmal and the Pakistan cricket team. And we said if there was any sports you'd like us to discuss, email the show. As a joke, Luke from Ballina has emailed the show and asked that we talk a little bit about F1. Do you want to just give us a little wrap-up on the other night's F1 Grand Prix there, Christian?
A little wrap. All right. Well, two nights ago, Lewis Hamilton and Jenson Button in their McLaren MP425s turned the world championship fight on its head in Montreal last night. And the night before that. When they scored the team's third 1-2 of the season after a tense race in which nobody was able to relax. With Australia's Mark Webber finishing fifth after a pre-match gearbox change relegated him 4 starting places. This leaves Hamilton in the lead of the World Championship with 109 points to Button's 106 and Webber's 103. And McLaren lead Red Bull Racing in the Constructors' Championship with 215 points to 193. Lucky baby, that's out to you.
That's amazing you're able to do that all right off the top of your head.
I am pretty amazing.
That is incredible. I just threw to you out of the blue, and whilst I was over here making paper rustling sounds, you were just talking off the top of your head. Right, I think that's most of our correspondence covered.
I think so.
What do we got here? We got Neil Thomas tweeted us and said... Australia, which I assume is some country near Venezuela, are not half as good as people make them out to be. We laboured in qualifiers, apart from Qatar. We got found out. Yeah, you're pretty bang on there, Neil. Situation was much the same for Australia as it was for Australia.
Yeah. Wow.
Matt Collard, while we cover Matt, I think that's all of it. What's that? Axiom Buckman. He's the first Axiom I've ever had the pleasure of saying his name.
Mm.
Axiom. What nationality is that?
Axiom. Well, I have no idea where it's from. I once heard the meaning of it. It's some weird hippie thing. I'm not sure what it means though.
If you know the meaning of the name Axiom, AXIOM, can you email us here at the show? info@thefootballsack.com or Twitter us at the Football Sack. Is that how we do it? I'm pretty new to Twitter.
Yeah,
I've been Twittering in about like the last couple of weeks. I've been Twittering, but I'm still new.
That's it. I've had a crash course in the last 1.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go @thefootballsack.
One word.
And then Twitter us to your heart's content.
And that comes straight to our Twitter account. Straight to our account. So if you have a Twitter, or if you have Facebook.
Facebook.
What do we do? Just search The Football Sack?
Just go to our actual website, thefootballsack.com. Go to contact us, and there's a link to our Facebook page.
I knew that. Duh.
Of course, you set it up.
Exactly. So if you want to get in touch with us via email, info@thefootballsack.com, Twitter @thefootballsack, or on the Facebook page. If you know the meaning of Axiom, did I say it right?
Axiom.
Get in touch. Axiom, if you're listening, you might want to just email us or Facebook us.
And Axiom's from Melbourne.
Yes. Axiom Blackman from Melbourne.
Well, nice to hear we're getting listeners from all over Australia.
Yeah, we've got good coverage, don't we? We might be able to catch up with each of them. We're not going to Perth for a football game, are we?
We're not going to Perth, yeah. Unfortunately.
Which is a shame. Well, we are seeing the Glory play. Where are we seeing them play?
North Queensland? I think it's in Sydney.
Is it? Actually, it might be Sydney, yeah.
Because I know the North Queensland one is Roar and Fury.
Oh, it is too, yeah. For those of you who didn't hear last week's show, where we're going all over Australia, we're going to see all 11 A-League clubs in the space of 9 days. I'm not sure if we don't really have the details at hand, but the details on the site. Go to thefootballsack.com. There is a story. I think there's a story.
That's a story. It's in the middle column. It's the map of Australia. Just click on that.
It is.
It'll take you straight to the details.
Very interesting. So if you're a listener and you're going to be at one of the games that we've highlighted that we're going to be at, and you fancy catching up for a drink before the game or something like that, Twitter, email us, get in touch. I think I've made myself pretty clear as to how to do that. Clear as mud. Anyway, Axiom said 15 minutes after I made reference to it. Axiom said, one, there hasn't been a real thriller in the World Cup yet.
Duh.
We've had shockers, haven't we? Well spotted, yeah, exactly. There's not going to be. No one can get this ball on target.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone was saying it's going to be a challenge for the goalkeeper, but it has to get there first.
Every goal is going to be a tap-in. Mm. No one's going to score from outside the area. It's just ridiculous. Two, England will struggle. Oh, Clint Dempsey scored from outside the area.
Mm.
Two, England will struggle in the World Cup. Now King is out. Carragher is slower than Terry. He's bang on there as well. Capello, he's had a PIM as well.
He has. His qualifying phase went brilliantly.
Impeccable.
Amazing. Everyone's like, okay, this could be England's year.
Yeah.
And then he's
shat himself at the World Cup.
He has. There has been some injuries, but.
Wow, but
he should have covered them better.
He took Gareth Barry, who hasn't played in 2 months, and left Scott Parker at home, who was in everyone's unofficial team of the season for the Premier League.
That's a City versus West Ham reference there.
Yeah, it is. Adam Johnson is keeping Sean Wright Phillips out of the City team, and he picks Sean Wright Phillips for the World Cup and leaves Adam Johnson at home. It takes Joe Cole, who plays on the left a lot, leaves him on the bench to play Milner and Wright Phillips on the left, where they don't play.
That's
right. It was just really, really odd. Carragher, whose pace has been in question all season in the Premier League, takes him to a World Cup. There was no surprise he got stood up by Altidore, who's not the quickest in the world.
He's not the quickest. He's very skillful, but not the quickest.
No, he's a good player, though. And Axiom's third point is that he's really looking forward to victory versus heart rivalry. So are we. So is everybody. That's a good point. I reckon it will be the most fierce rivalry in the competition. I think so too. It'll probably replace Sydney and Melbourne.
I think so.
Sydney really... Although they're making some inroads. I was just going to say they need to pull their socks up a little bit.
They've been going really well.
Yeah. They've done a lot of good stuff over the last year to really sort of
a lot of changes. Change the culture of the club.
That's right.
All the way from the playing staff to even the backroom staff. Yeah. It's really good. And Sydney FC have just been wonderful to us too.
They have, yeah. You know, they've been great. So let's hope that they do well. I can't wait for those derbies in that stadium as well.
The new Amy Park.
Look, let's hope that
Swan Street, as it's affectionately known already.
Is it really?
They're starting to call it Swan, the hardcore fans.
Is that the street it's on?
The street it's on.
That's
yes.
good, rather than the sponsors. No.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, no offense to Amy, but because what stadium is it in England? It's like Doncaster Rovers. They've had this stadium because they sell the rights to name. They've had like 8 different names for their stadium in 10 years.
It's Australia's version of Colonial Park.
Yeah, exactly. Colonial,
Docklands.
Docklands, what else has it been? It's been
Telstra. It's now Etihad. And I'm sure we're missing one as well. Yeah, so there's five names and it's short history already. So
well, the Olympic Stadium, Stadium Australia, ANZ. There was another one, Telstra.
Aussie Stadium.
Aussie.
After the home ones.
That's the football stadium.
That's the SFS.
Yeah, that's SFS. Cool. Yeah, yeah. My dad's mate was the bloke who did that deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Which I'm not too happy about. I like the name of City Football Stadium, but I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I got told quite a wonderful quirk the other day. Well, not really a quirk, but an observation that our very own host Jack Quigley looks like Jonathan Rees.
Who said that?
I probably shouldn't tell.
Is it one of our listeners?
It is one of our listeners, actually.
Do I know them?
You would know them. You would know. One Curtis Haywood.
Curtis Haywood. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Jonathan Rees. Oh, dear. I'm going to Google that right now. No, I better not. I'll be a professional. I'll get through the show. Mm-hmm. What's he basing that on?
I'm not sure. I think you got the jawline there, the chin. Don't shoot the messenger.
Jonathan Rees.
We'll have promo shots up soon on the site. If you think Jack Quigley looks like Jonathan Rees.
Let's that could be our next poll.
Oh,
on the website.
On the website.
Okay. Because our current poll is who will score the most in the tournament of football in Sydney. Your options are Sydney FC, IAC Athens, Rangers, Blackburn Rovers, or Christian Leyland.
And Christian Leyland is proudly in front by four votes.
Is he really?
He is.
Brilliant. Okay, well, our next poll, let's get like a half and half picture of me and Christian Rees. Christian Rees?
Jonathan Rees.
Who's Christian Rees? Politician, isn't he? I don't think he's listening. if you are, welcome to the show.
Welcome
Christian.
To the show, Christian.
Good to have you. Well, that'll be our next poll. So get on the site and vote. And the week after, we'll just do a straight up how handsome is Jack vote.
Oh, why not? Why not? We'll just have one option, which is extremely.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's going to get more hits for the website than my photos, aren't it? Righto. Let's talk. Have we covered everything from the World Cup that we want to cover?
Well, we didn't end up really covering Robert Green. But,
no, we just kind of. There was some great. Let's go through some of the jokes. There was. They all went to the bar after the game, and they thought it'd be nice to buy him a drink, but he spilled it.
That's my favorite. There's a few out there. I can't.
There's the condom one. You bet it's really slippery and you won't catch anything or something like that.
Oh, yes.
The difference between Greeno and Justin Bieber is that Greeno's balls were dropped.
Greeno's dropped his balls.
Yeah. One of my mates Facebooked that the key to scoring goals at this World Cup is shoot straight at the keeper, 50% power. Seems to work.
Yeah, cool.
Work twice.
Yeah, that's
worth a shot.
There was a Facebook group out there that Carly Fly actually showed me about Robert Green, but I can't actually remember it now.
Oh, yeah. There was one I saw on Twitter. There was a link to it, and it was like that awkward moment when Robert Green asked you to play catch with him.
That's the one.
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, that was great. I thought that would be really funny.
Just a quick mention for some teams which have surprised us so far in the World Cup.
Okay. Well, South Africa
did well. Okay. Yeah, did well.
What else we got? Germany.
Germany. Me personally has been South Korea. I thought they looked really good.
They look solid. Like Greece did in Australia.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'd like to say Australia did a Greece. Let's not make ourselves the reference point for a shit performance.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea were very good, very organised. A good goal from Park Ji-sung as well.
It was.
Got on there, swooped on that mistake, and never looked like missing.
As soon as he got the ball, everyone just went goal.
Yeah, it's a
goal. And he didn't disappoint.
No, he's very good.
Another one I thought, although they lost, Nigeria.
How good is their goalkeeper?
Oh, Vincent Anima. See, he's a 500K steal in Football Manager. Now he's also a steal in real life.
Really? There you go. The bloke who didn't mark Gabriel Einzer at the corner, his name was Odia.
Oh dear.
Says it all, really.
Mm. But honestly, okay, for Argentina's attacking talent, and even though my crucifixion of African defence last week, I'm going to put my hand up and say, you know what, I thought they did all right.
Yeah, they did. On another day, Messi could have scored four.
Yeah, this is fair enough.
But hey, the scoreboard says one. Yeah, so
cool.
Messi is just a different league.
Oh, isn't he?
He's so good. Like, yeah, we know. We've seen him for Barcelona. Mm-hmm. We saw him last year. We saw him this year. But he is one of those guys you literally would go just to watch him, which is fantastic. Does that really cover all the surprises so far?
Pretty much. Italy surprised me, not because of their performance, but the way they played. I thought they played less defensively as normal. They even played a slightly dominating game. And I thought it was quite intriguing to watch.
Italy, they're just that team every World Cup. Oh, they won't do it this time. It's not their time. They've done it before, but it's not their time. They said that last time.
They won the bloody thing.
Right.
Moving on.
We'll get an insight at, I was going to say three, but I don't know. Maybe Brazil could win it. Ivory Coast and Portugal could quarterfinal it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that won't happen because only two of those three will get out of the group.
Because they're in the same group.
It could, was the keyword. A-League news. Robbie Fowler has taken legal action via the PFA against North Queensland Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk us through that?
Well, basically, it's when the Fury went into administration, or the Australian version of administration, they had to release seven of their players because they couldn't afford to pay them. Six of those seven managed to come to an agreement with Fury about a compensation payment, all except Robbie Fowler, because of course his contract was so huge he didn't really want to take anything else. So he's gone to the PFA, and through the PFA they're now taking legal action against the Fury to come with some sort of agreement. But Fowler insists it's not because he wants the money, it's because he wants justice and as a prerequisite for all other players in the A-League from now.
Which I 100% agree with.
Yes.
He does not need the money. He owns like 140 houses in Liverpool. So he doesn't need the money. But I'm glad he's doing that.
Yes, that's good.
Because, yeah, we don't want blokes just not getting any security whatsoever. Because you never know. Yeah, like, blokes like Clive Palmer, he could pull up on tomorrow if he wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the Gold Coast there. So, a bit of security would be nice. And it's if we get that security, our league grows because players are more likely to come back, etc.
And like Fowler said himself, I think three or four of those players that were released were on long-term injuries. So their contract options for another club was diminished greatly. So
that's a very good point. Yeah. Shane Stefanuto, was he one of them? Did his knee?
He was coming at the end of an injury, but there were others who were right in the middle of their injury.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So Stefanuto was an example of a player who came from Europe to help out the Fury, ended up getting shafted, one would say.
Yeah.
Which, you know, no real fault of the Fury back staff, but more the owners which left. Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. Well, your hands get tied if the funding gets cut from the top, doesn't it? So,
that's it.
I just look down at that press release and yeah, it says well, not press release, but article. And the first line I look at was players like Shane Stefanuto, who sacrificed a European career in order to develop the A-League and more specifically football in North Queensland. Well done, Christian.
Oh,
you nailed it! Just like you nailed that F1 thing off the top of your head. That was brilliant.
I do have to give credit to Fury for the appointment of the new coach, Fran Straka.
Yeah, checkmate.
I just thought
everyone else is doing shit puns, I mean, as well.
That's it. Well, he coached at the same club as Levitska from
CBC. He did, yeah.
And he even had a stint as national coach for the Czech Republic.
One game?
One game and left on mutual consent.
They won it too.
An undefeated international coaching record.
Not even undefeated, but 100% winning ratio. He's probably the best coach of all time. I think the FIFA stats will show that North Queensland have just signed the best coach to have ever coached.
Yes. Just when Fergie...
Not a bad coup, really. Not a bad coup.
No, I think it's going to be good. What's going to be interesting is what he can do with the players he has, because...
That's right.
Now the FFA have taken over Fury, they have limited Fury to only 85% of last year's budget.
Oh, really?
So they're not going to be able to attract great players.
They won't get the huge player, will they?
But you never know, maybe a bit of tactical ingenuity may just be what the Fury need.
I think it is.
Mm.
I think if your tactics are bang on, you can probably get away with 85% of everyone else's squad,
yes.
We saw with Levitska.
That's it.
In Sydney, because he did a terrific job.
Yeah, with basically the same squad that Sydney NC had the two seasons before and failed with.
That's right, and they were terrible.
They were.
Terrible with. So, well done. And I'm really glad they went. Ferguson was terrible. A terrible appointment.
He was.
He actually himself didn't do too bad, but he was never going to come in and be able to do the job that someone like this bloke, Czech, will... he's not Czech. He's Nate...
Strike.
Sorry, I'll get through this. He is Czech. His name's not Czech. Ferguson. I think Ferguson's gone to Perth, hasn't he?
He's gone to Perth as an assistant manager.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's rumours which I'm hoping... Yeah, I know. There are rumours which I'm hoping are wrong, that Dave Mitchell is moving to Adelaide's empty coaching spot and Ian Ferguson's going to take over at Perth.
Oh, no way. Really?
Well, they're the rumours going around. I hope...
Because Vidmar's gone to the Australian Under-23?
Yeah, he's the Olleroos coach and the Socceroos assistant coach.
That's it, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping to the death of me that the rumours are incorrect and that Adelaide take Sydney's and the Fury's lead by taking up a decent European coach, but...
They seem to think that a good coach doesn't make a difference. It really does.
It does. Well, let's have a look. Sydney FC, mediocre in two seasons. Bring in a decent European coach, and suddenly they win the domestic double. Coincidence? I think not.
I like the way you did the ask a question, answer a question. You know who used to do that? Bruce McAvaney, when he was commentating on Channel 7. He loves the ask the question, answer the question, like especially during the athletics, like, Freeman, and he'd wait until they get to like 5 minutes from the end. Can she do it? Yes, she can. Yeah, he used to love that.
I've got fond memories of Bruce McAvaney because my first ever PlayStation game was AFL 99, and he was commentating. Wow. I won it in a competition. I'll tell you a story.
Okay. I think I played that. It was terrible.
It was terrible. He was co-commentating the game with Lee Matthews, the old Lions coach.
Yeah.
And,
but, probably the best player to ever play AFL.
That's it. And I think Wayne Carey, but anyway. That's another story.
Yeah. No. Let's go tangents.
Tangents. I don't know. Football talks.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about it.
No, I know bugger all as well. I just know Lee Matthews is held in pretty high regard.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Kerry Blake was all right. So. Yeah. He was the John Terry of the AFL.
Yes, the John Terry of AFL.
That was the other one. If only John Terry lived next door to Rob Green, England wouldn't be in this mess right now. He wouldn't be at the tournament. He
wouldn't be in the tournament,
He'd be at home crying like Wayne Bridge.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm on Wayne Bridge's side in this this whole thing. And Christian's actually sitting here in the City shirt, the away kit that City wore at Stamford Bridge for the infamous handshake.
Oh, that's right.
Handshake gate.
The snub.
Yes. Which the referee very cleverly sort of worked out, because obviously in the Premier League, you come out, you line up, the home team goes past and shakes the away team's hand. They both run off, kick balls around for 5 minutes, and then they kick off the game. And the referee knew there might be a bit of tension, so he reversed it so the away team would walk past the home team, so that when it came to Wayne Bridge passing John Terry, Bridgie just glided past him, because if they'd gone the other way, John Terry would have got to Wayne Bridge and just stood there, and there would have been this really awkward moment when Wayne Bridge wouldn't put his hand out. So well done, the referee. I can't remember who you were.
No idea. But anyway.
Chris Foy, I think it was.
Cool. So yeah, I got the PlayStation game. I won it at competition, and I didn't have a PlayStation, so I managed to use that as a bribe to get my mother to buy me one when I was
well played.
8. So yeah, thank you, Bruce McAvaney, getting my first PlayStation.
You got a game. She got you the PlayStation. Yeah. It's the equivalent of coming over with spare tires and can I have a car.
Come on, I'm actually going to go home. Well, I'll go to my mother's place. Next time I go there, I'll try it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for a new car.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? It worked when I was younger.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Right. What were we actually talking about just now?
I think we were on a transition. We just talked about the A-League.
We talked about Bruce McAvaney.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said something about...
I made a question.
Yeah. Double question answer sort of thing. lovely. Righto. Do we have anything else we need covered?
I think that's about it. Oh, just to mention to any Melbourne Victory fans.
Go ahead.
There's a new Melbourne Victory blog out there. You can find it at victoryblog.net. And by new, it's a few months old, but it's just getting started. Check it out if you're into the Victory.
Also, check out Backpage Football.
Oh, yes, backpagefootball.com. It's where our the latest team member of the Football Sack has originated from. He's co-editor of the website. And it's coming. It's a very nice website.
Neil Sherwin is the bloke we're talking about.
Yeah, hello, Neil.
Throw the name out there. who you can hear on another podcast. He was on the Guardian podcast the other day with James Richardson, which is a very good podcast. So have a listen to that. Just maybe backtrack a couple of days. Or you might not even have to. They might only do it every few days. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. On this note, I'm finding it quite funny. We have four members of the football sack now. We have Quigley, who's got a bit of English in him. We have Neil, who is Irish.
He's Irish.
And we have Matthew, who is Scottish. So
do we really?
We do. So we've almost...
Can you just pretend to be Welsh? We've got the home nations thing going on.
Actually,
I'll apologise to Neil and take that back because, of course, it's Northern Ireland that's the home nation, not the Republic. And I believe you are from the Republic, Neil. So sorry. I do realise the difference. Yes. I did spend Christmas in Dublin, if that counts.
My cousin did
marry an Irishman yesterday. Last night our time.
You know what? You're forgiven.
There you go.
There we are.
There you go. So congratulations to my cousin April and Mark, my new husband.
Good work, April and Mark. Yeah. Getting a shout out on the football sack. What more of a wedding gift do you want?
Hey, makes up for me not sending anything. The wedding was in Portugal. I can't afford to go.
Fair enough.
Right. I think that's everything for today's show. Is it not?
I think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything. Announcement. We're going to make the podcast bi-weekly during the World Cup.
It's Tuesday today, we will be back in on Thursday,
Friday. We'll see what happens.
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday sounds good.
Thursday sounds good?
Yes.
Because Friday I'll just want to knock off.
That's it.
Thanks very much for listening. Spread the word. Get in touch if you want to shout out on the show, as the 57 people we've said hello to today have done. So well done to them. We'll see you on Thursday. Enjoy the football.